Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the word that we have heard today. A word that encourages us to know our place. A word that encourages us to reach out and love your people. A word that reminds us of who you are, of who we are. Lord, help us to hear with ears that hear and hearts and minds that understand. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. Back in 1978, the year I graduated from college, the English rock band The Who wrote a song that has found new life in the beginning of the 21st century. If you watch CSI on Thursday night, you are familiar with the song, Who Are You? Who are you? Who? I really want to know, who are you? Who? My wife dared me to sing it. The song is quite applicable for investigators trying to figure out who a dead person is and what and who did them in. But I thought of this song because of our reading from Hebrews today, where it talks about Jesus as being a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And whenever I read that passage, I always imagine there are a lot of people going, Melchizedek, who? When I told Barbara about my title for this week, she said with a twinkle, that sounds a little cheesy. So who is this Melchizedek? We hear about him first in the book of Genesis. And understanding a little about him, I think, will help us to understand what the author of Hebrews is trying to say about Jesus. In Genesis chapter 14, we hear of the days when Abram, now notice it's Abram, so this is before the covenant God made with him and he became Abraham. So in the days when Abram was living in Canaan, King Chedorlaomer and other kings aligned with him fought and defeated the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah and other kings of who Abram was aligned with. This is also before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And in the defeat, Abram's brother Lot was captured. The king also took all the goods and provisions of Sodom and Gomorrah. So Abram, when he heard of the news, gathered around him 318 men of his own house and led them, and they defeated Chedorlaomer and the other kings, and all the good and provisions and Lot were returned. And then we read in verse 18, and King Melchizedek of Salem brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. He blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham by God Most High, maker of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands. Melchizedek was king of Salem, which was the ancient name for what we know of and what became Jerusalem. It's important that the author of this section of Genesis, which is believed to not have been one of the four authors that we often hear about or talk about in scholarly circles of the Pentateuch, or the first five books of the Old Testament. Most of the Pentateuch was written by the Yahwist, the Elohist, the priestly writer, and the Deuteronomist. But according to scholars, this piece about King Melchizedek is written by somebody else. And it speaks of the king being also the high priest. Now, again, we have to remember that this is a few centuries before, or many years before the time of Moses and Aaron. We noticed in our Hebrew passage it mentions Aaron as a priest, but King Melchizedek comes long before Aaron. And Aaron was the first high priest at the time of Moses, and the Levitical priesthood is established to the line of Aaron, which means that from the time of Moses, the priests and the high priest came from the family of Levites, one of the families of Abraham, of Joseph. Which means the Aaron or Aaronic or Levitical priesthood was handed down in the family by blood succession for the most part from that time forward, from the time of Moses and Aaron forward. Melchizedek, though, was long before that and was both king and high priest. And we have the sense that he was made a high priest by God. There was nobody around, really, to bless him, to make him a high priest. Thus, it was not because of blood, but because he was a different kind of priest that we hear about him in our references today. And we get a sense of Melchizedek being a different kind of priest when we read the only other reference to him in the Bible, besides the two we've already heard from, in Psalm 110. We read, "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord sends out from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your foes. Your people will offer themselves willingly on the day you lead your forces on the holy mountains. From the womb of the morning like dew, your youth will come to you. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." And we believe also this is where the writer of Hebrews got this, according to the order of Melchizedek. God is the one who determines the high priest. David, now remember, King Melchizedek was king and high priest of Salem, which became Jerusalem. David was the great king of Jerusalem, and Jesus is descended from David. Jesus is not of the house of Levi, or the Levitical priesthood, line of the Levitical priesthood. And in Hebrews, we hear then how it is, even though he is not descended from Levi, that Jesus is considered to be the great high priest. We read, "Every high priest chosen from among mortals is put in charge of things pertaining to God on their behalf, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is subject to weakness. And because of this, he must offer sacrifice for his own sins, as well as those of the people." The high priest is one with the people. The high priest is also responsible to be the representative of the people before God. The high priest carries the sins of himself and the people before God. There was that time during the year when the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies, and he was the only one allowed to do so, to intercede before God on behalf of himself and the people. But being human, as that first portion of the Hebrews passage makes clear, the high priest was no better before God than the ones that he was representing. And then we take that understanding of the high priesthood and he applies it to Jesus. We read, "So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you.' As he says also in another place, 'You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek.' In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission." So Christ was appointed by God to be the high priest. And that's what makes him a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, because he did not come from the Levitical line of priests. Also, this statement points out that once again, the humanity of Jesus. Jesus was one of us. He lived our life. He was tempted in every way that we are. He interceded before God on behalf of all humanity. The job of the high priest. He performed the true duties of that position. And then we hear what separates Christ from us and from the Levitical priest. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Christ was obedient. That's what makes him different. Even to death on a cross. Unlike the Levitical priesthood, he gave himself up to be the sacrifice rather than to sacrifice the lamb or the bird or whatever was being sacrificed on behalf of for the people. And Christ, only Christ could do that because of his obedience and because he was the high priest chosen by God. Okay, so what does that mean for all of us? Why is this scripture important? It's important because we understand that for us, Jesus is the one who makes us right before God. And only Jesus can. No one else can do that for us, what he did. It means that Jesus loves us so much that he was willing to become the sacrificial lamb for us. It speaks of his love for us and his willingness to lay down his life for us. And the other piece, we've been given a model by Jesus of how we are to be for each other. As Presbyterians, we believe in the priesthood of all believers. Now, that doesn't mean that we are high priests like Jesus, but we have been given a model of how to be a priest for each other. It's not just my job to be the priest, but yours as well. Dr. Wallace M. Alston, former pastor of the Nassau Presbyterian Church and the Continuing Education Center, both in Princeton, once wrote concerning this idea of the priesthood of all believers. The priesthood of all believers, therefore, does not only mean that each person is his or her priest in very personal terms. It means that the minister is your priest and that you are the minister's priest. That you are my priest and I am your priest. That we are God's representatives to each other and that we are each other's representatives before God. It means that we are to speak to each other about God. Calling each other to repentance and faith means that we are to speak to God about each other, interceding before God for each other, and seeking God's guidance and blessing. We are to be like Christ. But the good news is that we are human and we will fail, but Christ has already interceded for us before God on our behalf. And so therefore we are right with God, even when we fail. But that does not get us off the hook from being priests for each other. We are to intercede for each other, pray for each other, be the Spirit of God for each other. And we can do it because like Christ, we have been there with each other. When somebody talks about having trouble paying a bill, we've been there. Most of us have. We know what it's like. When someone loses a parent, many of us have been there. And we know the feelings, the sadness, the depression. And we can go before God for them. And we can be there for them. Because we have been there. Jesus is the great high priest because he has been there with us. But he is also a model for us of how we can be priests for each other. In other words, chosen according to the order of Melchizedek, you know, chosen by God, not because we happen to be born into the priestly family. Now, some may say, hey, I'm the last person to be a priest. Nobody would want me to be a priest. Well, I would challenge that. Listen to this. The next time you feel that God can't use you to be a priest, Just remember, Noah got drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David had an affair and was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptist ate bugs. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer. And Lazarus was dead. So we cannot think that God can't use us to be a priest for somebody else. Because God has used all these other people. So the question is asked of us, who are we? Who are you? You are a priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, because God appointed you to pray for and be with God's children. Unlike Christ, we are not perfect. But then, that's why Christ went to the cross. But let us strive. Let us work to be priestly in our lives to the best of our abilities. Amen.